The Righteous Made Perfect, the place where we discuss life, ministry, and what it takes to live as the people that God has made perfect. Today on the podcast, we talk to Tony Brown. Tony is the preacher for the Zion Rest Church of Christ near Marietta, Mississippi, where he has served for many years. He also owns a printing company in Boonville, Mississippi, Brown Line Printing. But we're going to talk today on the podcast about Tony's work with Maywood Christian Camp, something that has become a passion of his and something he does a tremendous job as. He is a director there, also on the board, I believe, serving on that in that capacity for many years now. But Tony has a great session of camp, and he talks to us about the importance of Christian camps. And I think it's something that will benefit us all when we consider the impact they may have on our youth. And I hope it'll encourage you to support whatever Christian camp is in your area. Tony is a tremendous person. We're glad to have him. Let's go talk to Tony Brown. Tony, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, I am doing great. Just wonderful to be here.
Well, you look great. It's been a long time since I've seen your face.
But
I'm glad to see that smile. And you got your Mississippi State maroon on. And
I see you got maroon. I see you wearing maroon too.
Yeah, that was unintentional to all my friends here in Louisiana. I'm glad we don't put this out on video. I might get some hard times. But how's life in and around Boonville, Mississippi?
Listen, everything's good. We're back to where we was pre-COVID. I hate to even use that word, but things are going good though. I've been in a real positive state of mind.
Well, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit about where you work in ministry and kind of, how things are going there, and we'll go from there.
Let me tell you a little story about my conversion, Adam. I don't say this to brag, but I'm just going to tell you about the providence of God in my life. When I was in the seventh grade, a knock came on the door one Saturday. And it was some folks from the Hillcrest Church of Christ knocking on my mama's door and said, "We've got a big old bus. We pick children up to take them to church. Can we take your children with us to church?" Of course, mama said, take them, you know, keep them. So that's how I started. That was my connection with the Lord's church. And eventually I was baptized. And they came and picked me up on a church bus until I obtained my driver's license and started worship, able to drive myself to worship. And that's how I found out about Jesus, was through a bus ministry.
Man.
And on January 3rd, 1976, I was baptized at the age of 14. But I owe it all to that one knock on the door that Saturday in the trailer park when they were just knocking on doors. And I'm so indebted. I tell people this story, not to brag, but just to say, you never know an opportunity might present itself. You never know when that might happen. And I've been so in debt ever since then.
I never knew that. I all the years I was around you, I'd never heard that story. That's great.
Yeah,
that's gold right there. So
I know, man. And then Adam, I was very fortunate to meet a girl whose daddy was a preacher. Her name was Nora Barber. Her dad was Calvin Barber. Met her, married her, and I was just married into a wonderful family who had a strong background in the Lord's church. And I've just been blessed immensely. Immensely, I've been blessed.
Well, you're a blessing to many. I know that. So that's awesome. You know, we're not going to talk about things like ministering to children specifically on the podcast, although we're going to get into that, I guess, some. But I like what you said there, just kind of as a segue for just a moment into this is, you know, you said your mom said take them and the church ministered to the kids. And, you know, a lot of times I hear people say, "Oh, well, we're after the parents, not the kids," but they got the kid. And look what you've done. So after you get married and Mr. Barber, I knew Calvin. I was privileged to know him when I lived up there in that area. I was grateful to meet him. Great man. And you ended up. How did you get into preaching yourself? How did you go from marrying a preacher's daughter to being a preacher?
It's another strange story, Adam. Once I married into Calvin's family, he said, "I'm gonna be gone this coming Sunday," and I told the men that you're gonna preach for me. I said, "Brother Calvin, I've never done that before." He said, "Well, I'm going to help you." So he helped me get a sermon up, and I was so nervous and worried about it. And I done that. And then he said, well, I'm going to tell other people that if they need a fill-in to call you. So 1 year, Adam, just 1 year, I just filled in like 20 times that year, just same sermon.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. And anyway, I done that for a while. I filled in. And then one day, these two men, I went to work with Brother Calvin in the meantime. I didn't know if you knew that. I went to work for him at the print shop. I went down to take my wife, my girlfriend, to lunch. And I was looking for a job, and he hired me right then to help him at the print shop. So that was another thing in that family. But anyway, two men came from Zion Rest to Brother Calvin's office at the print shop and said, we're looking for a preacher. We'd like to hire you. He said, I'm not interested. But he said, would you consider my son-in-law? And I said, what? I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that. And he said, yes, you are. And those two men hired me, never heard me preach because Brother Calvin Barber recommended me.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, well, I will try it for 6 months, and I'm on year 34.
And that's the only church you've ever been a located preacher for, right?
That's the only church I've been a located preacher for. That's correct.
You're a rarity among the brotherhood. But that what a great story. And so you didn't have aspirations to be a preacher, didn't go to preaching
school,
none of that stuff.
No.
It just fell in your lap.
I fell in my lap, and Brother Calvin helped me, and they started a in-depth Bible class at Winfield, Alabama, for the Winfrey Clark and Jack Wilhelm and some of those men, Franklin Camp, Dan Winker. Some of those men would come once a week and have about 2 hours in that Bible classes. And I started going there and learning the best I could, just studying as I could. And that's how I got in the ministry.
That's the school of Bible emphasis, right?
That's right, Adam.
Yeah,
school of Bible emphasis.
So because you're big buddies with some of the guys from Mayfield that used to go to that.
Yes.
I never went. That was a night I just kind of needed for my family.
Right.
But they went for years, and I know you guys all butted up pretty well. You and Mr. Clyde Neves and all that.
Yeah, part, Clyde Neves and Lonnie and Oscar Buchanan. We learned a lot, and I've had a lot of help over the way. But I owe it all to Brother Calvin and the Lord. You know, they just he just really helped me so much. He really did.
You've done a fantastic job, and I know the church there is a huge just blessing in that community. You guys were a blessing when I was in that area, and you.
Well,
you've
I appreciate
been really influential.
That.
So
we work hard at it. We work hard at it.
Well, that's what it takes.
You think about a statue of a man that tells these group people, would you consider my son-in-law, and they hired me on the spot because he recommended me. You think about a casting that kind of shadow. What kind of influence do you have like that?
That would be a good discussion topic right there.
I mean, that's a good
illustration. So what did you want to talk about on the podcast today?
Well, I've got several things. One thing that this course, you know, is a very good passion of mine is Maywood Christian Camp and Christian camping in general.
Right.
And I like to talk about that, Adam. If you don't care, we can share that for just a little while.
I think that's great. I like you. I was able to be a part of your session a couple, I think two or three years.
Yeah.
You let me come over and help out whatever little I could. And then,
you did good.
I've worked at other camps, Sardis Lake and Batesville, Mississippi, or near Batesville, Mississippi.
That's a good one.
And then I'm now involved. I'm on the board and work with the Arklatex Christian Camp. And
okay,
that's,
good.
So we have a session, and just, I love camp. I you know, if we could do it year round, it'd be great. But
I'm telling you what, I love it. I've got a real passion for it. I never was able to go to camp coming up because I always worked in the summer. But when me and Nora married, Nora said, I'm going to Maywood the third week of June, whether you go or not. So I don't care if you go or not, but I'm going. So she dragged me over there. The first year we was married, kicking and screaming. I mean, kicking and screaming. Didn't want to go. Well, it come time to go home on Saturday, and she brought me home kicking and screaming. It won't leave. So over the years, I worked with good men like James Wires. You know James and Philip Hathcock. I know you know Philip over the years. It's just been a real passion of mine. Around my house, our calendar goes BC before camp and AC after camp. That's where we keep our calendar. Everything we do revolves around camp. But I want to mention this. I've been doing some talking and some studying on this. You know, our young people face a lot, Adam. And we've got to give them every available tool we can in this old world they live in, we live in. There's a lot of good things, there's a lot of youth rallies around like CYC and Evangelism University and all that. But recently I read some statistics from the Barner Group. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
Yeah, occasionally I pull stuff from them. They're pretty good research.
Yeah. And they just do research on anyone that calls themselves Christians, you know, from all over. I recently read that we're losing a lot of young people, and you know that. Well, unfortunately, that's probably a lot of truth in that. But I read a statistic. It really showed me something. It said those young people that stay faithful to Jesus, those young people stay faithful to the church. Somebody asked them, what was it that kept you faithful? The number one answer was faithful parents, and that's a whole lesson in itself.
Right.
Train up a child in the way she go when he's old and not depart. And that's the way it should be. But the second answer is what really got me excited. They said the influence of a Christian camp. Think about that.
Huh.
How about the influence of a Christian camp? That was answer number two.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed that either, but that was the And they said the connections that are made, that was a support group as they go through adult, as they leave the teenage year and go to adulthood, the connections they made at a Christian camp over the years was a great influence on them, and it kept them faithful.
You know, that rings true, and I'll tell you our experience. You mentioned the after COVID, I hate to even mention that time.
We talked
about it before we started recording that, you know, that was just such a tough time. But I'll say this, my older two sons, they had gotten really close to a bunch of friends from camp. And during COVID, during the lockdown, they basically, when schools were shut down, all these camp kids from the Arklatex area, they were just having devotionals and hanging out they basically had about 6 weeks of camp, I think, there for a while. They were, you know, just doing things together and you know, playing games. And then they started having a text chat where one of them would lead a devotional every night, and they'd send that out through text to each other. And they did all this without any parents. We didn't, you know, we all found out about it. And they're just the closest friends. And I
see that,
you know, yeah, they need that. So that does ring true, but I would have not have guessed that would be that common. So
I wouldn't have guessed that either, but you think about it, it does ring true. And even you think about even your own life, Brother Adam, the connection that you made at the various camps you worked at over the years and what an influence they are in your life. Yeah. And what a support group they are for you.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I never went as a camper. My reasons were a little different. I grew up in a Christian home, but man, I was bashful. People don't believe this. I know, because I'm a nut now. But the idea of having to sleep in a room with a bunch of strangers and having to go to the bathroom in a bath, that one really, it just, when I was a little boy, I was scared of that.
I hear you.
And you know, we get kids like that now sometimes, and they get over it real quick. I wish my parents would have said, hey, you go ahead and go. But
yeah, that's right.
I never went. And so the first time I went was in 2000 and I believe one or two. And I went to Arklatex with Paul Hillier. He's passed on now, but he had a session here, and his mom and dad were members where I preached. And so he said, hey, would you come be a counselor? And man, I just I'm like you. I was really reluctant about it. Went over there, went to camp, and when I went, I was hooked. And I've been every year.
Right.
I don't think I've missed a year since. And many years I've done two or three sessions. So I used to do your session and then Sardis back.
Sardis, I know.
When I was a young man, I can't do that anymore.
No, we don't get them. But oftentimes I'm asked to come and speak at various congregations that supports Maywood. And I used to go and tell them what all we needed. But now I go and tell them, I kind of change my topic. Instead of saying, the needs of Made with Christian Camp, I changed it to the needs for Made with Christian Camp. And I emphasize what I just told you about those statistics about children that stay faithful, attribute that to a Christian camp. So I look at it we need to use our camps to kind of promote our camps as a form of mission work, because Adam, I don't know how y'all are. We're getting more and more people that comes to Maywood that's not connected with the church.
Absolutely.
Like we was talking earlier. They'll come with a friend or the parent or want a parent to see a Christian camp and say, I think this may help my child.
Right.
And like you said, we have some children there, like you said, that can't find Genesis in the Bible. But that gives us the opportunity to minister to them and teach them about Jesus. And I just believe it's going to be more and more opportunities for our Christian camps to evangelize our young people. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this, and we were talking about it with my staff this last year. It always, as fun as camp is, and I want to make sure we highlight this too, it always breaks my heart, because we'll have some of those kids that come in and they'll say, they'll start crying. And I remember one little boy one time, he was crying and he said, I know I've got to go home. And home ain't like this. And he said, nobody will take me to church. And, Dad was in jail and Mom was on drugs. Mm. And, they just tell these stories, and it just, you want to just bring them all to your house.
But
we're hoping while they're there for those 7 days that we can put enough of the Word of God in them and show them what it's like to be loved.
Yes.
As a Christian. And I'm hoping, and we've seen that a few of them will stick. That'll stick with them, and they'll get out of that bad situation. And when they're on their own, they'll come on,
They'll never forget that. Yeah, it is. I've had them, Adam, when we go home on Saturday, they'll say, do I have to go home? And I try to emphasize to my staff, like you do also, I say, look, these kids, we got them for a week. For this week, they're going to be special. We're going to treat them special. We're going to show them a picture of Jesus. We're going to treat them good. And that may be the only week of the whole year, Adam, treated like that.
That's right.
So we've got to look at that as an evangelistic tool. And like you said, they'll always remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about, take a little time on here to talk a little bit about Maywood. Y'all are a much larger camp than Arklatex. A lot more people come through. So how many campers do you have normally? And how does all that work?
Last year we had 2,099 come through camp last year.
Wow.
We have a total of 10 sessions. And last year we had out of that 2,099, we had, I believe, right at 300 baptisms for the whole summer. Wow. So if you was having a gospel meeting for 10 weeks and you had attendance of 2,000 and you had 300 baptisms, that'd be some kind of meeting, wouldn't it, Adam?
Yeah. And everybody would try to replicate that.
That's right. Yeah. So it's good. We've got a lot of good stuff going on. We've upgraded our facilities. We're just so blessed beyond measure at Maywood. We have some good staff, good directors, good donors. Jeff Gall, who's a full-time administrator, does an excellent job.
Yeah, he's been there for several years too, hasn't he?
He's been there, I think, since 2005, I believe. He's done a great job. We went out on the limb when we hired a full-time administrator. Didn't know how we would ever pay for it, but it's really paid for itself. It sure has.
Yeah. Well, that y'all, I haven't been to the campus there in several years, but I know y'all've redone the mess hall.
We got a great multi-purpose building. It's just the top of the line. Let me tell you a little story. When we first started going to Maywood, it was primitive, no air conditioner anywhere, like you remember, and some of the camps you went to, and Brother Jerry Jenkins, I don't know if you know Brother Jerry Jenkins.
Yeah, that's Dale and Jeff's daddy.
Yes. He was on the board with us, and he said, the Church of Roebuck Parkway, where I attend, is going to pay for air conditioning in the mess hall so kids can sit down and eat and kind of cool off. We have 25 directors on the board, And two of those directors voted against the air conditioning. You can believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sad to say it was me and James Wires. We didn't think we could pay the light bill, Adam.
Right.
So I never would get Jerry Jenkins in. He said, "Well, James and Tony, y'all just turn it off the third week of June."
Yeah, y'all don't. If you're morally opposed to it, don't use it.
So anyhow, that worked out good. Now all of our facilities are air conditioned. The cabins are air conditioned. It's just unreal how far we've come.
Yeah, it's I was really blessed. I worked a good bit with Mike Beasley, who we talked about some.
Yes,
he was a member there.
Yes,
he's a member there. Yes. At Zion Rest where you preach.
Yes.
And I was actually able to come help and build, I don't know, three or four of the
oh, I didn't realize cabins. That.
Yeah, I was able to come and help build and I don't remember the names of them, but the one that's over the storm shelter, whatever that is, I was in on that.
Yeah.
And a couple of the cabins back up on the back of the camp. But anyway, so I was really blessed to be able to be a part of that too. So it's kind of cool. But we're in a little different situation here with the Arklatex camp, and I'll take a minute to plug it.
Yeah,
but,
please do that.
Yeah, so I've got a session. We have recently expanded until this last year. We could only hold, let's see, we had five boys' cabins, five girls' cabins, each of them would hold. So we could hold about 80 kids per session is all we could hold. But we added a couple of cabins, so we upped our capacity.
Right.
We hold 96 kids.
Wow.
I hope the fire marshal's not listening. We had 98 there last year, but my friend who is helps me with the sports and different registration and stuff, he said, "Man, I just can't turn these kids away." And we ended up having to turn a bunch of them away. But he said, "Well, I got
that
some."
Hurts too.
He said, "I've got some. They're cousins. They said they'd share a bunk." And then one little girl said, "I'll sleep on the floor." And so we kind of just snuck them in, but we've been really blessed. Our session has just gotten to capacity the last few years.
Great.
We're adding a new session this year. COVID, unfortunately, we lost a group out of Texas that year that did a session because the state of Louisiana shut down camps. The state of Texas,
Alabama did too.
Texas did not, and so
really?
that group, unfortunately, that year got plugged in with another camp. And it kind of, you know, and that hurt us. But anyway, we're building back. We've got a new session that's taking that place. And so we're hoping to grow. We've got some new facilities. We're trying to improve some. So we're not nearly to Maywood, you know, but we're trying to get there. And, and it's a lot of work. It takes a lot.
It's a lot of work, Adam. You know, and you can relate to this. At the end of the camp, I'm so tired, I don't even know my name, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
But when you finally get home and get a hot shower and kind of wind down and you kind of take a deep breath and realize how the Lord has blessed us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we go to help the kids, but you know, you can testify this. I get probably more out of it than anybody does. My battery's charged.
Yes, sir.
I love to see the – I love this. I tell them when they come in on Sunday, it's kind of organized chaos or unorganized chaos, I guess. But by the end of the week, you start seeing that camaraderie come together.
That's right.
And at the end of the week, we're a family, you know, and we say, "Blessed be the ties that bind." It just breaks my heart when we sing that. That's just what it's all about right there.
Yeah, you talk about being so tired. A little funny story. I've got a cousin who got married this last year, and her wedding was the Saturday that camp was over. So we their wedding was at like 5 or 6, and
oh,
man,
no.
When they sent out that date, it made my heart sink. Well, anyway, they got COVID. The family got COVID.
Like
three days before the wedding. So they called during camp and said, "Hey, we're going to have to cancel the wedding." And I told her later, I didn't tell her for about a year or a few months, I guess it was. But I told her just a couple months ago, I said, "I'm not going to lie to you." I said, "I danced a little jig when you," I said, because I said, "I knew I'd be so tired when I got to y'all's wedding."
I hear you.
But it's a blessing, you know. It's a lot of work, but it's something that we're, you know, people are passionate about. The people that my staff and people we have come in and work and sacrifice and give, you know, they see the good, and we've seen.
That's true.
Talk a little bit about. I know we can talk about some from Arklatex. I'm thinking about several kids that have been a part of just my session in the last 4 or 5 years since I've been directing this session. Now that are full-time song leaders, they're full-time. We've got some guys that are, we've got two guys and one of them's my son. So I don't want to brag on him too much, but we've got a couple, three young men. Let me take that back, that are part of my session now that are doing fill-in preaching for area.
Wow.
Almost every Sunday. And camp is a huge catalyst to that. So how about you? Do you got any stories like that? I'm sure.
Well, we got a bunch of stories like that. I'll tell a couple of them. My first year at Maywood, when I was a counselor, I had some kids in my cabin. I'm gonna tell you some of these names. You mentioned them, Russell Smith.
Oh yeah,
you remember Russell Smith?
Yeah, I've had him on the podcast. Russell's a good guy. Russell's a good guy.
Right. Yeah, he started out. He's a Maywood guy. He's one of my assistant directors. He's gone on, I think, because of the influence of camp and became a youth minister, and now he's preaching, and now he's teaching at Columbia Academy. He's real good. Chuck Morris, I don't know if you know Chuck.
Yeah.
He preaches. He started out there at Maywood. Chad Bowen, who works for me, you know Chad.
Yeah.
He started out at camp with me. He's now a preacher. There's so many of them, and I attribute it a lot to the influence of Maywood Christian Camp. To encourage these people like it, because you know, we like you. We have some times when a young man can lead singing, read a scripture, do a little talk, and that just kind of gets them going right there. Kind of a training session there.
That's right. Well, you know, I was just thinking about the scripture in Proverbs 27:17. You know, where it says, "As iron sharpens irons, one man sharpens another."
That's powerful.
And you know, when you put good kids around other good kids,
yes,
it makes them better.
It does.
And I think that's a part of it is we've got great kids in our churches, but sometimes they don't get exposed to other really godly kids. They're in their school. You know, I grew up in a small church where it was just two or three of us here in the quote unquote youth group. We didn't even have enough to have a youth group. And it would have done me a lot of good in my younger years to had the exposure to other Christian people.
Right.
See that you don't have to, you know, go out on Friday night and party and all the stuff kids
Absolutely.
Are doing. You know, that
Absolutely.
There's other options for life. And I think that's a huge aspect of it and making you grow too.
Absolutely. Let me tell you another little aspect about camp that's kind of been a trend the last several years in our session. We've had several people that has met their spouse at Maywood. And my daughter met her spouse at Maywood. He proposed to her one night at Maywood. And we've had several wedding proposals there at Maywood. And some has even came back and got married there at the camp where they met. So not only does our Christian camps help keep people faithful, but it helps them find a Christian spouse, but that's always a great blessing.
Yeah, I think that's a neat thing. We've had several weddings out at our camp now, and I'm three or four. I know we had one this last summer because she squeezed it in between sessions. They did it. She wanted to get married in the summer, and I said, you know, we're having camp in the summer, but they came in and did it. We had a week there where there was a short session, and so they came in and did it then. But they love it. I mean, camp means so much to them, and it's such a big part of their life that it becomes where they want to start their family. And it's pretty cool.
Last year. This is a funny story. I got to tell you this. Last year, this couple goes to church with us. Her name's Amy McElroy. His name is Matthew Hatcher. He proposed to Amy the Friday night at camp. And she just insisted that she get married right then. I mean, she wanted to get married like right then. That Friday night at camp before they went home. I mean, they was of age. She was in like 22. He was like 23. And I said, look, I said, your mother and daddy will shoot me and you if we do that. She said, well, I'm of age. I mean, and this discussion started about 10 o'clock. At 1 o'clock that morning, we were still having that discussion. Her mom and daddy had been on I've been on the telephone line with her mom and daddy and everything. And I said, look, I do it. I said, but now you got to run this by your mom and daddy now. Because so finally, about 2 o'clock that morning, her mother and daddy and her come to a conclusion that she would not get married that night. She would get married later on. I think about a month later they got married. It wasn't at camp, but that's how insistent they was.
Hey, so you got me beat on that one. I don't have that story.
So she said, and here's what she said, Adam. You appreciate this. She said that things are always more special at camp. And she wanted to be a part of that. And I kind of felt for her, but I also understood the parents too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sitting here trying to think, okay, how would I get out of that? I would probably say, well, you got to have a license, you know. And
Well, in Alabama nowadays, that's right. That's right. Because she put me on the spot. She said, now, is marriage a covenant between us and God or us and the court? I thought, well, you know, how do I answer that? I said, well, it's a covenant between us and God. She said, Why can't I get married right now?
Yeah, that'd be another Bible study for another podcast there.
That's exactly right.
Well, Tony, man, I know you got a preacher's luncheon today, and you're there talking to us from your office, from your work office. You mentioned your father-in-law hired you at the printing shop. Now you have a printing shop of your own, right?
Yes, sir, I do. It was very fortunate. I worked for my father-in-law for 14 years, and he sold out, and me and my wife started our own business. And Adam, the last 5 years Brother Calvin lived, he came down here and worked with us every day at the print shop. We got to spend some time with him after he retired, and he come and work with us. I don't never say work for us. He didn't work for us. He worked with us. And we got to experience that. It was just a great joy, great joy.
Well, I appreciate you and appreciate all you do, whether it's at the Church of Zion Rest or whether it's through camp or just in the area. You're a local hero up there in that part of Northeast Mississippi. No, you are. You're one of the men of renown. But
I am so blessed. The Lord's been so good to me. I want to say one more thing. This past year, Adam, I had all my children, which I have 2 children. And I have five grandchildren. This year, I had all of them at camp with me, my grandchildren and all my children.
Wow.
What a great blessing that was.
Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, life is good. Thanks for calling me to do this. I love it. I love it, man.
Well, I've had a blast and love you. And hopefully I can get up that way sometime and see all you guys again.
I hope you can. We have to get you up here for a meeting. I know you still do gospel meetings every chance you get, don't you?
Only when they'll let me.
Okay. Good deal. Good. Thank you, Adam T. Miller. I appreciate you, buddy. Love
All right,
you.
Brother. You have a great day. Love you, too. Wasn't that great? If you don't know Tony Brown, you really ought to. The guy's a tremendous encourager. He's a light, and he puts a big smile on your face whenever you get to talk to him and visit with him. I had more fun recording that podcast than I've had. No offense to any of my other guests, but Tony's just great. He's got a personality that's bubbling over. We appreciate him for his encouragement, his work with places like Maywood Christian Camp and the church there at Zion Rest, and really his impact on that whole Northeast Mississippi area. Tony is a tremendous servant of God. If you'd like to get in touch with him, let me know and send me a message, and we'll get you in touch with Tony. I'm sure he'd be glad to talk to you or encourage you and help you out however you might need. And we've got several requests for topics on the podcast. They'll be coming out in the coming weeks and months as we work on those. And hopefully they'll be a blessing in your life. If you like the podcast, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Android, whatever app you use to listen to the podcast. If you follow us on Substack, make sure and subscribe. And we'd appreciate if you share that and get that out. We'd love to grow our tent as large as we can. And we hope that this podcast is a blessing to you and your family. Until next time, may our God bless you.